But really, it's about raising up people that truly have a fire and a passion to serve Jesus. And that's our whole purpose for Ethan Real. And it's not just target group is from 18 to about 28, but it's for anybody that wants to come. So it's open up to you if you want to come. It starts at 7. So, but I want to speak on today is a passion for him. Just as our purpose for Ethan Real is to stir up a passion in men and women that have a true hunger and a fire for God, that not just an outward, you know, passion, but a true passion within. A true passion within. Because those who love him are the ones who obey him. And we want to raise up a generation that will serve him with true, faithful hearts. So I want to speak today on just that. Stirring up a passion, a true passion for him. For the Creator. The God who created the universe. And it is passionately in love with us. So, first thing in a relationship is you got to know who that person is. In order to have a relationship with somebody, you have to first know who that person is. And so the first part of having a relationship with God, we have to know who God is. We got to truly know who God is in order to have a true relationship with him, to have a true passion for him. We got to know him as who he really is. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Sanctify the Lord in your hearts." Sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means having a correct understanding of who he really is. In those set of scriptures, it's talking about persecution. But if you go through persecution in your life and you don't know who he is, none of the persecution is going to be worth it. But if you have a sanctified mind of who God really is, and you have a correct understanding of who God is, he is worth it. He truly is worth it. We need to have a passion for him. If we're going to walk through this life, if we're going to walk through tribulations in this life, and we're going to face persecution, and if we're going to walk through it, we have to have a passion for him. We have to know who he is. Think about it in a minute. If you don't know who he is, it's hard to have faith in him. Faith is complete trust without any doubt. Without any doubt. If I have any doubt in me, it becomes hope. I'm hoping for it. But you cannot please God without faith. God wants us to have a true faith in him, not just hope in him. He wants us to have true faith, complete trust in him for right now, not for later. Because if you're believing for stuff later, that's hope. But if you're believing right now, in this very moment, it becomes faith without any doubt. God wants us to have that faith right now, in this present time, for the faith to step out for the Dream Center and for the rest of this church, that God may truly build a passion within us. But if you don't have faith, think about it. If you don't have faith for healing, it might be because you don't know who he is when it comes to healing. If I don't know him as the healer, I'm going to have a hard time understanding his healing power. I'm going to have a hard time trusting, because if I don't truly know him as the healer, I won't be able to truly trust in him before that. So when I come to him and pray and I say, "God, come heal this person, come heal me, come heal this church," I'm hoping for it because there's doubt. But God wants us to know who he really is. Not just a superficial, okay, this God in the distance. But he wants us to know who he is intimately on a deeper level. And I believe God is calling us to go to a deeper level with him. He's calling his church. It says it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. The day is coming. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. And we must have a passion for him because he is passionate for us. He is truly passionate for us, and he loves us with a passion that we cannot even understand. He has a passion for us, and we are to be passionate for him. So who is God? Who is this God we serve? Who is the God we serve? Think about it. Who is He? I did some searches on names, who He is, as He reveals Himself. And this is only very minimum of who He is. You can talk about this for days and months on who God is. Forever. Our minds cannot comprehend the fullness of God. They can't. But who is this God we serve? He's Adonai. Adonai says God is the Master, Majestic Lord. God, our total authority. He's Adonai, the one that's in complete control. He's the one that's in the top authority. There is no other authority above Him. This is the God we serve. He is Adonai. We see this in Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, if you want to go to it. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be in the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, Adonai, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet. He makes me tread in the high places. You see, when we understand Adonai, we understand that God is Adonai, the one that's in complete control, when the situations of our life seem rocky. See, right here in the scripture, he was flat broke on E with no food. He had nothing. But he said, I will rejoice in the Lord, the God, Adonai, my strength. Because my joy doesn't come from my circumstances, it comes from Him. It comes from Adonai. It comes from Jesus Christ. And when we begin to understand that, see, happiness comes from our happenstance. What happens to us. But when we truly understand who God is, as Adonai, we understand that He is the one in complete control. He is our total authority. And we can take joy in Him. We can take joy in Him knowing He is the one in complete control. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve today. A God that is in complete control. He is also El Elyon, God Most High. El Elyon, God Most High, the Sovereign God, has all rights to rule, to govern. He has all rights. There are no gods above Him. For He is great and greatly to be praised and to be feared above all other gods. This is the God we serve. Think about it. We see this in Daniel. If you want to go to it, it's Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 through 34. I'll repeat that. It's Daniel chapter 4. Verse 28 through 34. It's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. And this all came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built for my mighty power as a royal residence, and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still on the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and you will dwell, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like the ox. 7 periods of time pass over you. It says, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom He wills. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was very prideful. Very prideful. You see, he came and he saw this great city and he said, I built it for myself and for my kingdom, for my royalty. I did it myself. But oh, how foolish it was. Because he is El Elyon. He is the God over all gods. He's the one that governs. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the one in control, not man. He gives authority to man, but he is the one ultimately in control. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar had spoke that, God had to show him, look, you ain't nobody. He's up there walking on, strutting on the rooftop saying, hey, I did all this myself. God had to show him, you ain't nothing. What does it say in John 15? You can do nothing apart from me. We can do nothing apart from El Elyon. We can do nothing apart from God. You see, what happened was when King Nebuchadnezzar went out, he lost his understanding. It was turned into a reprobate for about 7 years. It says seven periods. And he finally cried out. It says in the next verse, it says, immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet from the dew of the heavens, till his hair grew as long as the eagle's feathers. And his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. And my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. You see, God had to humble him. And when he was humbled, he finally cried out and said, I get it. You are God. You are the one in complete control. You are the one that rules over my life. So, is God ruling over your life today? Is he El Elyon in your life today? Is this the God you're serving? Is El Elyon the God you're serving? He is the one that's over all things. He is the sovereign Lord. He also is what? Elohim. He also reveals himself as Elohim. Elohim is all-powerful creator. He is the all-powerful creator. God is God, the one who created the universe. He spoke and he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said the earth was without form and void. But he spoke and said, let there be light. He is the one that created us. In verse 26 in Genesis chapter 1, he says, let us make man in our image. He's the one that created us. He's the God who speaks and things come to pass. He's the creator of the universe. This is the God we serve. He is a mighty God. He's a powerful God that rules over all things. He rules and controls all things. This is the God we serve. He's not a weak God. He is an almighty God, all-powerful God. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. He's also El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, almighty, all-sufficient. We see this in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. It said, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and me, and may multiply you greatly. And Abram fell on his face. See, he began to understand. God revealed himself today, that day, that he is the one that supplies his needs and his desires. Because Abram didn't have any children, and he desperately wanted some. He said, I am El Shaddai. I am your sufficiency. He said, my grace is sufficient. He is the one, when we get into the presence of God, the Creator, the Almighty God, that's where we find all sufficiency. You see that in Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Elohim, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. He says, you see, in Psalms 91 it says, when you dwell in a secret place, when you get in the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, He will meet your every need. He will meet your every need because He is El Shaddai, our all-sufficiency. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. The one that desires to meet and satisfy your every need. But if you don't know Him as that, if you don't know Him as El Shaddai, you're going to be always empty. You're always going to be empty. But until you come to that revelation of who He really is, when you begin to understand that He is the Creator of the universe, and when you get in His presence, when you seek Him every day, He meets your needs. He meets you where you're at. He is our sufficiency. Our satisfaction doesn't come from this world no longer. It comes from Him. It comes from His presence. As John Bevere in one of our teachings says, how come people have gotten so comfortable without My presence? How come people have gotten so complacent without His presence? Because we can very easily look for our sufficiency in cars and jobs and people, husbands and wives and relationships, when every time they will leave you disappointed. Because He is El Shaddai. He is the one, He is our sufficiency. Our sufficiency... spit it out there. He is our sufficiency. He is our sufficiency. And it only comes from Him. He's also El Roy. I was looking up the names and I know He's the God that sees me. But do we really understand that? El Roy, the God who sees me. This is the God we serve. He says, I see you everywhere you go, every footstep you take, every move you make, and every thought you make, every thought you have, He sees it. He judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. We see it in Psalms 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Where can we go from His presence? We can't. He is everywhere we go. He sees everything. We also see it in Psalms 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and His ears are towards the cries, their cries. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He watches all His paths. This is the God we serve. El Roy. The God who sees my every decision. He sees the good and He sees the evil. There's nothing you can hide from God. There's nothing. But I have to confess myself. Do I really live that? Do I really understand that? Do I understand that God is a God who sees my every decision? When I talk to my brother bad? If I skip out on a responsibility, God sees it. I think if we came to an understanding of El Roy, the God who sees me, I think our lives would completely change. Because I notice sometimes people they'll get around the pastor, or they'll get around people that are in position, they'll act different. They'll act different, won't they? Well, what if you understood that God sees everything? Man, we're not to fear man. We're supposed to fear God. And if we understood that God saw every decision we made, He sees the good and the bad, I think our lives would absolutely change. So we need to know who this God is we're serving. The God we're serving is El Roy, the God who sees me. He sees my every move, my every decision. And He even sees my thoughts. He says He hates the thoughts of the wicked. They're an abomination to Him. He sees deeper than just the physical. He sees the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's kind of a scary thing. That's a very scary thing, actually. To know the God of the universe, the Creator, Adonai, Elohim, sees my every thought, my every decision. That's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. He is also Jehovah Jireh, though. He is our provider. He is our provider. It says in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want because He is my provider. He is the one there for me. Not man." Yes, God does bring men into our lives to help us. But ultimately, it is Him. He is the one that provides. We also see this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. When Abraham was taking Isaac up the mountain, they were going to worship the Lord. I was reading this last night, and it's kind of funny. They're walking up the mountain, and Isaac goes, Abraham. He goes, "Here I am. I'm here. What is it?" Isaac goes, "Well, I got the fire. I've got the wood. Where's the offering?" He's going, "Where's the offering at?" And God revealed Himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Because He said, God will provide. See, Isaac didn't understand that yet. He's walking up the mountain going, "What's going on here? I got some wood and some fire. Where's the offering at?" But he didn't know it was Him. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and says, "I know your faith now. I see you fear the Lord." And He provided a ram in the thicket. God revealed Himself as Jehovah Jireh, the provider of our every need. See, a lot of us right now, I know I'm guilty of it sometimes too. You see, being at Calvary Commission, it's kind of hard sometimes. You get to work on the weekends, but as myself right now, my focus is ministry and the position God has for me. I work when I need to, and I love to work. But God says, "I want you to focus on the ministry I put in front of you." So I have been. Well, without being able to work all the time, it gets kind of testing. You got to really know that God is the provider. If you don't know God as a provider, well, I'm going to start stressing real hard. And I've seen a lot of people do it. They know that He is the provider, but do you really know Him as the provider? See, there's a difference there. See, we can read about Him in Scripture and understand that He is the provider, but do we really know Him as a provider? Are you anxious in your provisions right now? Are there things in your life that you know that you need, but you're anxious? Because if you're anxious in them, you're doubting. And if you're doubting, it's unbelief. And God hates unbelief. He's looking for faith. And faith is believing and trusting fully without any doubt. Are you truly, truly trusting in Jehovah Jireh today? This is the God we serve. Jehovah Jireh, our provider that meets our every need. And if there's needs that need to be met, we need to get in touch with Jehovah Jireh today. We need to get in touch with Him. We need to know Him. He is also Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is our healer. Just like I was talking about when I began. If you don't know God as the healer, you can't have faith for healing. It's hard to have faith in a God you don't know. But if you truly know Him as the healer, you can have faith. You can have trust in Him. We see this in Psalms 103, 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives our iniquities and who heals all our diseases. He is the God that is here. He is the God that is able. He is our authority. He is our provider. And He is our healer. Not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. I know some of us, when we come to Christ, we need some healing. I know I did. I needed lots of healing. And I came in touch with Jehovah Rapha. God healed my heart. He set me free and He delivered me for His glory. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve, the healer. If you need some healing in your life, cry out to Jehovah Rapha today. If you need some healing in your heart and in your mind, cry out to Him, because He is the healer. Also in Isaiah 53, it says, by His stripes we are healed. He took that cross. He was beaten and bruised for our iniquity. Because of the sin that we have committed in our lives, because of the fall of Abraham or fall of Adam, that sin nature has been passed down. And now that we are born in a sin nature, we have multiple sins in our lives. We have tons of sin in our lives, lawlessness against God. But because He loved us so much, He came to this earth, He took the cross and died for us, that we may be set free and healed and have a relationship with Him. This is the God we serve, the healer. He's also Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is our peace. See, God brings peace to the storm. He brings a true peace that surpasses all understanding. It says His peace will guard your heart in Philippians 4. It says His peace will guard our hearts. But if you don't know Him as Jehovah Shalom, you can't have that peace. But God wants to reveal that to you today. God wants to reveal that He is the provider of peace to you in your life and in your storms. In the storms of your life today, is He Jehovah Shalom? Is He providing that peace in your life? Because just like we saw in Habakkuk, His peace came from God Himself. It came from God, not His circumstances. So if you don't have peace today, you need to get in contact with Jehovah Shalom. Let Him provide that peace in your life. He's the only one that can provide true peace. He's also my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. You see, He also wants to take care of us. He wants to shepherd you upon this life. He wants to comfort you in your troubles. He wants to take you to those greener pastures. But if you don't know Him as shepherd, you're going to have a hard time. He is also Jehovah Shammah. This is, I think, my favorite one. It says, the Lord is there. The Lord is my companion. You know, as the New Jerusalem was being revealed, the name of the city is, the Lord is there. The Lord is in the midst of His people. He says, the Lord is our companion. In John 15, He says, I no longer call you servants. Servants don't know what the master is doing, but I call you friends. See, God calls us friends now. He is our companion. He is Jehovah Shammah, our companion. We also see this in Revelation 21, verse 3 and 5, if you want to go there. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from every eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." He is our companion. He is there with us. See, a lot of times we have this understanding that God is at a distance. He is God. He is the Creator. He is the Almighty. He is the All-Sufficiency. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is here with us right now. He has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell with us and in us. He is here. He is our companion. He's our comforter. He's the one who has every answer to your problem. Only Him. We can search in many things, but until you get in contact with Him, Jehovah Shammah, our companion, He's also Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the God above all gods. This is the God we serve. Jesus Christ, one that came to this earth to set the captives free, not to condemn this world, but to set it free. He came to set me free. He came to set you free. He is our deliverer. This is the God we serve. But God didn't just want us to know about Him, as I was talking about. In a relationship, when you begin to know who somebody is, the next part of building that relationship is you must spend time with them. You have to spend time with that person. Just like God, if we want to have a passionate relationship with God, we have to spend time with God. You know, it's easy. It's easy. Think about it. The President of the United States right now, Obama. Now, I can get on the news and do a whole bunch of research on him and know all about Obama. I can know a lot of the decisions he's making, and I can know a lot of, you know, about his family life and everything else. But I can not have any kind of relationship with him. I can research him all I want, but I still will never know him until I spent time with him. It's the same thing with God. The same thing if Joe Foss, the pastor here. I can know all about Joe and be in his ministry and be a student under him, but if I don't spend time with him, I don't know him. I know a lot about him. I can read all about Calvary Commission. I can read about the ministry. But I will never know him until you spend time with him. And this is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to go deeper. Now that we have a little bit of a glimpse of who he is, let's spend some time with him. God wants to spend time with us. And when you begin to understand that God is passionate for you and he ultimately wants to spend time with you, it'll make you fall to your knees. The Creator of the universe, the Almighty God, the Provider, the Healer, wants to spend time with us. He is passionate for us. How do we do that, though? How do we spend time with God? There's a couple ways we can spend time with God. The main one that stuck out to me was prayer. What is prayer? What exactly is prayer? It's communication with one another. Confiding in one another. Confiding with God. I looked up in Webster's 1828 definitions for communication. It says intercourse by words, letters, or message. Interchanging thoughts or opinions. That's what prayer is. It's communication. It's intercourse by words, by letters, or by message. Interchanging thoughts and opinions. See, God wants to interchange thoughts and opinions with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to spend time in prayer, knowing Him. He wants to give us His thoughts. He wants to give us His opinions. But we got to know who He is. And when we know who He is, we spend time with Him. Then we will be able to understand Him. But if I spend time in prayer and I don't know who He is, I won't understand none of His thoughts or opinions. See, it takes both sides. If you leave one or the other out, you have a shallow relationship. So if I don't know anything about God and I try to spend a whole bunch of time with Him, I will never understand Him. But if I know who He is first, then I spend time with Him. There comes a passion. A passion for Him. A true passion for who He is. And just last week, we were talking about Moses and the Israelites and how people serve God because of what they did for Him. What God did for the Israelites. People would serve Him because He did miracles in their lives. But Moses served Him because of who he was. It says, Moses was showed God's ways, but Israel only got to see His acts. God wants to show you His ways. He wants to show you His thoughts. He wants to show you His likes and His dislikes, that we can be more like Him. But first we got to know who He is. Then we got to spend that time with Him. And as we spend time with Him, God reveals Himself to us. He reveals His thoughts, His feelings, His emotions. Also, saying about the Word of God. The Word of God is how we spend time with Him. If you think about it, the Word of God is a form of prayer. The Word of God is a form of prayer. When you begin to spend time in the Word of God, you open up your mind to His thoughts. You allow Him to speak to you. Because what prayer is not a one-way conversation, is it? Prayer is a two-way conversation. It is a dialogue. And when we get into the Word of God and we spend time in the Word, we allow God to open up the Scripture to us and birth it within us and transform us. Then we begin to know His thoughts, His feelings, His emotions, His dislikes, and His likes. He says, I hate pride and arrogance and evil behavior. But He also says, I delight in your prayers. He delights in spending time with us. He delights in you. He created you. And He delights in you. And He loves you with a passion. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. When we spend time in the Word, He says, and actually in Psalms 138, He says, I have magnified my Word above all your name. Why has he magnified His Word above His name? Because His Word is what reveals Him. He's given us the Word of God that He can be revealed. He says in John chapter 1, He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. And when you spend time in the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus Christ. And you're allowing Him to share His opinions, His thoughts. You're allowing Him to communicate with you and transform you. In John 17:17, it says, the Word of God sanctifies us. It says, sanctify them by truth. Your Word is truth. The Word of God sanctifies us and sets us free. If you abide in my Word, you will be my disciple indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth is the Word of God. This is the God who wants to spend time with you. He is Jehovah Shammah, our companion. our friend. This is the God we serve. The Word of God also leads us and guides us. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is what leads us. God has chosen the Word of God and given it to us that we may be able to know Him in a deeper way and not in just a superficial way through just what we make up in creation. God reveals Himself through creation, but God has given us His Word that we may know Him more intimately. That we may know Him as a provider, as we may know Him as a healer, that we may know Him as Almighty God. He delights in our prayers too. He says in Proverbs 15:8, "Sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayers of the upright is His delight." He delights in your prayers. He delights in spending time with you. I want you to understand that today. God delights in spending time with you. He loves hearing your voice. He delights in your prayers. He delights in communicating with you. He takes great joy in sharing His thoughts and feelings towards you. But if we don't ever spend that time with Him in the Word, or if we don't ever know who He is, we will never know that. The passion that God has for you. Also in Proverbs 15:29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." He hears the prayers of the righteous. He takes delight in them. He hears them, and He answers them. Not all the time when we think that He should answer them, but He hears them, and He will answer them. If you have faith to really, really believe. But if you pray in doubt, your brain in unbelief, God doesn't delight in those. But if you're praying in true faith, God will answer your cries. And He takes delight in them. We also see this in James 5, 13 and 16. If any among you afflicted, let him pray. If any cheerful, let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will cure the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, God takes great delight in our prayers. God takes great delight in us. And when we get in His presence, when we get in the presence of Elohim, He will be our El Shaddai, our all-sufficiency. And I think that's God's heart today. That's God's heart. You get in His presence. Get in the presence of the Creator. Spend some time with Him. Let God stir that passion within you as you seek Him. As we're doing a series, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Take that first step and begin to draw near to Him today. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Him. I don't know if you feel dry and desolate. But let's get in touch with the Creator of the universe. So I'm gonna open up the altars right now. And the prayer team, if they all want to come up. If you need to get in touch with the Creator of the universe, if you need to get in touch with the Creator of the universe and meets your needs, I convince you to come. Come, get in touch with the Creator. Come get in touch with Him. Come spend some time with Him. Let Him commune with you. Let Him share your thoughts. Let Him share His thoughts towards you. If you're struggling right now, now is the time to get in His presence. Don't delay. Let Him transform you. Lord God, we come to You right now in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for Your presence, Lord. We thank You, God, that You are God above all gods. You are Adonai. God, we love You, Lord. You are God, Jehovah, Shammah, our companion. You are our healer, Jehovah Rapha. God, I pray, Lord God, You give us a true understanding of that today, God. And God, I pray that, Lord God, our hearts, Lord, be open to You. That our minds may truly be open to what You have for us. Come, Lord God. Let us commune with You, Lord. In Jesus' name.